Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, here we go. Time for Fast Track. And let's see, one side of the coin, John, is we have baseball by the 4th of July. Other side of the coin, Bob Nightingale was overly optimistic. Call it in the air.
No, I think Bob's on to something. I'm going heads.
Heads. We got heads. Baseball before 4th of July.
It's coming back. It's to you, John.
Funch.
Fast Track.
Last Sunday, a teenager named Jose Romanes found a bag outside of a Wells Fargo bank with $135,000 inside. The money was left by a Wells Fargo subcontractor whose job it is to fill the ATM. He just got absent-minded and left $135,000 on the sidewalk. Romanes returned the money. He took it inside to the bank and explained what happened. He's a college student studying criminal justice. And when the story got out that he was a good citizen here, he actually got offered a job at the local police station. So good for him. But a few questions here. Do you think most people, especially in this pandemic, would do what this kid did, return the money, or do you think most people would take the money and run?
I believe that most people would take the money and run.
Lindsay, what do you think?
I think, yeah, most people would. I probably would take the money and run, wouldn't you?
Funch?
Most people would, and I would take the money.
Okay, so that leads me to the second question. Let's say,
by the way, how much were we talking about again?
$135,000.
Yeah, I'm taking the money also. I'm also taking the money.
So let's say, all right, all three of you, this leads to the next question.
Okay.
Let's say you do take the money. Is that stealing? You found it on the street. You didn't hold anybody up or take it from a teller when he wasn't looking. You found it. Can you legally keep it? Chances are they have a camera, on the ATM. So they might be able to find you. They would say, hey, that's Steve Mason from ESPN. He took all the money. Would they be able to file charge? Did you break any law? I think you probably did, but
no,
I don't know.
The money was given to you.
It was not given to you. You found it on the street.
Yeah, but chances are it was ill-gotten gain, like it was drug money or something. There's
carries
around $135,000 of
but
cash.
But I'm telling you in this case, it wasn't drug money. It was an absent-minded ATM filler.
I'm sorry. Somebody screwed it up. I think the money is free and clear. You didn't break any laws. Somebody leaves a bunch of money. It's on that person. I don't think you've broken a law by taking the money.
It's...
Go ahead and say, I would be honest. I would give it back.
I know you would. Okay, so I would, and so would you. So here's
I absolutely would not.
You would not take $135,000.
I would take $135,000 right. That was laying on the ground no matter what.
I don't think you would. So accept this premise and answer this last question.
Okay.
$135,000, I think you're, and knowing that there's a camera there, you're taking it back in the bank. But if you found $1, you would keep it. Probably the same for $10. What's the number that makes you say, okay, it's wrong if I take this much? If you found $100, are you taking it back in? Now, you know you're on camera, okay?
Do I know it's the bank's money, or is there money just sitting there?
You know it's the bank's money, and you know that it might go viral. So, in other words, I think if you picked up $10... I'm not taking $10 back in the bank. What about 50?
No, I'm not taking.
But even if it did, what about who cares? You're not doing anything wrong as far as you're concerned, you know?
Yeah, but it's a bad look for people in the public eye like Mason and I. Like, hey man, that Laker announcer, that ESPN guy, he took $100,000 and wouldn't give it back. I think if it's anything under 100, you stick it in your pocket. If it's 100 or more, you got to take it in the bank. Mace, if you find a $100 bill, are you taking it and leaving? Knowing it's going viral.
Anything over $100,000, I'm going to give.
$100,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not so worried. Look, For $135,000, I don't mind if something goes viral. And by the way, I think most people agree. Most people would say, yeah, damn right. They left $135,000 on the ground. Finders keepers, man.
Ugh.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest. Let's not be all Pollyanna. I mean, Funch and Lindsay are being honest. I'm being honest. $135,000 is a lot of money. That's like change of life money.
Not keeping it. If my
You know what, John? Not everybody lives in the luxurious Manhattan Beach mansion and has a hot tub and a hot tub playlist where they can just leave $135,000.
But you know what I don't? You know what, Lindsay? You know what I don't have? Is a hot tub TV. But
yeah,
thanks to
right.
you, I am working on it.
Well, you're about to.
Yes.
All right. Funch.
Fast track.
All right. Website called Eater Los Angeles. L.A. Eater.
I've been to that website.
Okay. So they've done a story about long waits at drive-thrus, drive-thru restaurants. So in Downey, there is a Chick-fil-A, and they counted 40 cars getting ready and trying to get into Chick-fil-A for their order. At the same time, there is an In-N-Out in Downey where there were 50 cars waiting. There is a Krispy Kreme in Gardena with 37 cars waiting on a Friday night. John, what is the maximum number of cars you would wait for to get, for example, I know you love Chick-fil-A, for a chance to get Chick-fil-A, maximum number of cars.
They have opened a Chick-fil-A in El Segundo near my house. Like, there hasn't been one by my house in a long time. So if I was going to have Chick-fil-A, I had to do it when I was on the road, like at a Laker game or something. But now I can get Chick-fil-A. Mace, I cannot tell you, like, the Chick-fil-A in Torrance and now this one in El Segundo, at peak hours, there are 30 cars there. I'm not kidding.
Right.
30 cars there. If it's more than 10, I'm out.
More than 10 cars, you're out.
Yeah, I cannot. And they have two lines at the one I go to. I cannot sit there. And you know, once you get in the line, you're trapped. You can't go back and you can't go forward.
You can't get it. Once you're in, they can't get you out.
But it is one of the great, like, somebody in the news should do a story on this. I one time in a Chick-fil-A in Torrance said, I'm really hungry. I feel like Chick-fil-A. I pulled in there and it was, I mean, I must have waited 40 minutes. It's for a stupid chicken sandwich. I don't know what I was thinking. And then I counted the cars that day. I was car number 22.
Oh.
Yeah. And why do people wait? Like, really, you're going to be car number 29 for Krispy Kreme donuts?
Wait a minute. You were car number 22, right?
Yeah, but I'll never do it again. That's why. That's how I learned my lesson. Why? I'm now, if I'm more than, I count the cars, and if they're more than 10, I'm out. I go do
something. Everybody loves donuts, man. Everybody loves donuts.
But
love
is
donuts.
Is anything worth a 40-minute wait that's fast food?
I think people are just lazy, to be honest. Because I've done that, and, like, I'll wait, you know, especially, like, In-N-Out. I feel like there's always people. Like, no matter what time of day, especially late at night, there's always a long line. And it's like, okay, well, if I get out of this line, then I have to go home and make myself something, and that's going to take this much time. And people are just like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to wait.
Really? You'll wait that? You'll wait 40 minutes for a chicken sandwich?
Well, I think a lot of times I don't realize that I'm waiting 40 minutes because by the time you get like halfway through and it's been 20 minutes, you're like, yeah, what's another 20?
By the way,
do another podcast.
Yeah. By the way, Mace, this ties into a question you had earlier in the week on Fast Track. This is why they thought Quibi would work.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people are always stuck in lines and they're on the go. And you could rattle off two or three Quibi shows in a 40-minute
wait. It is true. A long wait is podcast time. By the way, Lindsay, you listen to a lot of podcasts. Do you listen to them in real time or at time and a half?
I listen to them in real time. And I can't believe that there are freaks out there that listen to it at time and a half.
I listen to them at time and a half.
Mike Trudell.
That's crazy.
Mike Trudell only listens at time and a half.
I can listen to so many more podcasts.
Yeah, but especially like the storytelling ones, there's like a whole cadence and timing and all, and like the music and everything. I really appreciate the art of, you know, engineering and putting together like the sound design of a podcast in most cases. Some of the ones I listen to, maybe like one or two are just like strictly informative, like Bill Simmons' podcast. But like the ones where it's like there's a story and you got the music and everything, like I appreciate all that. And I feel like it adds to the experience. And if I listen to it time and a half, it just screws it all up.
So
I understand I'm missing some of the nuances of a podcast, but I'm plowing through more material and that's what I'm really trying to do.
Lindsay, listen to this. Mace, you are okay listening to a podcast at time and a half, but you're offended if people watch movies at time and a half.
Wait, people do that?
Sense. Nobody watches movies at time and a half.
Yes, they do. Netflix has a feature. So does Hulu.
What?
You just put it on the fast forward, and you can watch the whole thing.
And how's the talking done?
Faster.
Just it's like a podcast.
It's the same thing as fast forwarding a podcast.
Well, I guess I've got to. If you want to speed read through a TV show, go ahead, have at it. I think in that case, you're missing that actually is.
So you would not be offended if you found out that people were listening to the Culture Pop podcast at time and a half?
None, not at all. Because you know why? Because they're listening. That's the most important thing. It's like when we had Wendy on a while back, and I said, you know, I listen to your podcast a time and a half. He goes, as long as you're listening, I don't care how fast.
Yeah, he wants the downloads. Yeah,
give me
true.
The downloads. All right, more Fast Track coming up next for you. Lindsay's got a question. Funch has got a question. 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track, and Funch, it's to you.
Fast Track.
All right, Robert Pattinson, you know, the guy from the Twilight movies?
Funny, I'm watching him right now in his arc on The Sopranos.
Okay.
Wait, Robert Pattinson was never on The Sopranos.
I'm thinking Robert Patrick. Robert Pattinson. All right,
T-1000, that's
Twilight
a Terminator.
Guys, yeah.
Okay. He has opened up about his workout regimen and body image for men in Hollywood in a brand new interview with GQ. Pattinson was filming the new Batman movie titled The Batman when quarantine was announced, and when asked if he's keeping to a strict fitness regime put together by a personal trainer, he said he's ignoring instructions because it sends a bad message. I think if you're working out all the time, you're part of the problem, he said, referring to his fellow Hollywood actors. You set a precedent. No one was exactly doing this in the 1970s. Even James Dean, he wasn't exactly ripped. By comparison, Christian Bale, who played Batman before Pattinson, gained 43 pounds of muscle while bulking up for the role. Is Pattinson doing the movie a disservice by not trying to stay in shape for the role of Batman? And is he right to say Hollywood is the reason why we try to stay in shape?
Well, first of all, if you go through the history of Batman, even back to Adam West as the TV Batman, or you go through Michael Keaton and Val Kilmer and George Clooney, none of them Mace were necessarily big muscle head or fitness freaks until Christian Bale, right? Christian Bale was like the first guy who did that.
Well, but then we had Avengers like Chris Hemsworth with the Hemsworths, those guys.
Right.
We had Captain America, Chris Evans. All of a sudden, superheroes became much more about physique. I don't know if you know who Kumail Nanjiani is?
Yeah. From Big Bang Theory.
Right. He is completely ripped to play in a Marvel movie. Like, ripped like you would not believe. He said they controlled everything he ate. They controlled all of his training. And he is completely and totally ripped for this role. So, yeah, I mean, there is something to what Pattinson is saying. It's guys being held to almost impossible standards with 3% body fat or whatever it is. But, I mean, if that's your job, that's your job.
Didn't Daniel Day-Lewis, wasn't he famous for, like, going on, like, these freakish regimens to get ready for movies? I think he did the same thing. I mean, I it's not uncommon to see that happen. I guess Pattinson is the anti-Christian Bale.
But
and he sounds like a complete idiot.
He does wear, I'm sure in Batman, he wears, you know, that Batman muscle suit, right?
Yeah, but that's not the point.
I've seen him in the trailers or the images from the set.
But he still
Go ahead,
Mace.
He's wearing that Batman muscle suit, so it doesn't matter, I guess, so much if he's actually ripped underneath it.
But he still has to look good as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, you're right. He does. Yeah, I mean,
like, Bruce Wayne is not a fat dude.
He's shirking his responsibilities. That's exactly what he's doing. You're right.
But Robert Pattinson,
to the gym.
No, he isn't fat. He's just not ripped. He's kind of just a tall, skinny
dude. He was pretty ripped in Twilight, though. Depending on the episode, but then again, he was playing.
Am I the only one here who's never seen any, like, not even 1 minute of a Twilight movie?
I mean, I was obsessed with them.
I watched the first one. I thought it was kind of crap.
I'm afraid to admit, I've seen them all.
You've seen them all.
I've seen them all.
Well, Lindsay, it sounds like you've seen them all.
Yeah, I read all the books, and then when the movies came out, I watched all the movies like the night that they opened. I loved that.
I saw the first one. I thought it was kind of crap, so I didn't watch the rest of the series.
I saw Kristen Stewart host SNL live. She was great.
Now, but I did watch all the Hunger Games movies. I thought those were cool.
It has nothing to do with Twilight.
Yeah, I've gone in and out of those.
That was based on a series of books, kind of young adult books. So same kind of category.
I didn't dig
Twilight that much.
You just said you were in the middle of watching them.
I watched the first one and thought it was crap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he thinks Robert Patrick is Robert Pattinson. So what does he know?
By the way, Rob, I think he'll be great as the Batman. And I forget who's playing the Joker in the Batman.
Penguin, you mean? Someone's playing Penguin. That's who's in this one.
Oh, jeez.
They've got great villains in this thing.
This is the new
Colin Farrell. Colin Farrell's playing
Colin
the Penguin.
Colin Farrell's playing the Penguin.
That's a weird one.
Yeah, I actually think he might be good. Colin Farrell might be good.
I'd bet on this Batman movie.
And
I
Zoe
think
Kravitz
the
is playing the Catwoman.
Perfect. Oh,
that'll be perfect.
Yeah, I love Zoe Kravitz. All right. And by the way, Robert Patrick in Sopranos is fantastic. I'm in season two, and I know it's not going to end well for him. But he's been really, really good in the part. All right, Funch.
Fast Track.
Lindsay, it's to you.
Okay, guys. So I wanted to play a little game today due to the recent back and forth between me and John with Name That Tune. I thought that you guys could play Name That Tune, but it's Name That Tune Movie Theme Edition.
Okay, okay. Got it.
Seems like it's a little bit more in your guys' wheelhouse, okay?
Okay.
So, John, you can play.
So
Steve,
we're naming, we're, you're looking for the name of the movie.
Yes, looking for the name of the movie that the song comes from. Your name is your buzzer. And, but first one, what do we want to do? First one to three.
Okay,
or,
got it.
Okay, all right. So, number one.
John. I want to say, is that Catch Me If You Can?
No. How did you not get that right away? Oh, my God.
Well, oh, I got it. I know what it is.
I get to hear more of it.
I know what it is.
Oh, my God. I thought this was the easiest one.
No, I know what it is now. If Mason misses it, I'll guess.
I might have made these too hard, then, if you don't know this one.
Mace, do you know?
Mason?
Yeah, Mace.
Is it Blues Brothers?
No.
No, John. Do I get another guess?
Yeah, sure.
It's Austin Powers.
Oh! Yeah. If you would have gotten to the hook, I would have gotten it.
See, I thought it would be as soon as you heard the beginning. I would have got it, but yeah, I love that movie. Okay, number two.
John.
Mason.
John.
Exorcist.
Yep. All right, this one's a little bit tougher. They get tougher as you go. At least I think they do.
Okay.
Number three.
Mm.
John.
Mason.
John.
Oh. Is it Close Encounters? I had another. I made this too hard.
I thought this one was really weird.
Is it The Dark Knight?
No.
Is it okay? I got one more.
Okay, John.
Is it Raiders of the Lost Ark?
No, it's Batman. We're just talking about it.
Oh, okay. Well, I was close. I said The Dark Knight.
You were close, but I didn't want to say that because then it would have given John a hint.
So was it Batman Begins?
It was the first Batman.
The Tim Burton Batman.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, these are hard. Okay,
these are hard, Lindsay.
How many more left?
I've got, I mean, I got a couple.
I have
more.
Two, so I only need one more, right? Okay.
Yeah. Number four.
Mason.
Mace.
Jurassic Park.
Nope.
Let me hear some more of that.
I was worried I made it too easy.
Yeah, I don't know it.
No.
Oh my gosh!
Give me a hook. Give me a hook. I mean,
that is the hook. It's just slow. It's just slow at the beginning.
What was it?
Okay, that one was Back to the Future.
Okay.
All right, you guys have to get this one.
Would have never gotten that.
All right.
Number five.
John. That's Raiders of the Lost Ark.
No, it's not.
Okay.
You're
play,
so sure,
play
too.
Some more. Give me some more.
All right. Oh, I know this. What is this?
It's John Williams. Give me a hook.
There it is.
This was part of a thing recently.
Okay. Mace, you got a guess?
Mason. It's,
what's your guess?
He guessed Raiders. I got no guess.
Okay, I got one.
Okay, what's your guess?
I think this is wrong, but is it Magnificent Seven?
It is.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, that was a hard game.
I thought that I made these too easy. Let's just do one more just to see if Mace can get it. But
I know movie scores, but I mean, you're not starting with the hook.
It took me that long to get three.
I thought that if I started with the hook, that I thought it would be too easy. Let's do number seven because you guys have to know that one. Oh my God! How do you not know that right away?
I don't think I know this at all.
I don't know it at all.
I can't believe Funch. Would you know what that was?
Yeah, I'm not over 50.
It's Kill Bill.
Yeah, no, wouldn't have gotten.
I haven't seen Kill Bill in years.
But that's they do that throughout all the movies. They whistle that song. That's crazy that you guys didn't know those. All right. No.
Give me a hook. Make it
next time. That is the hook. Next time I'll make it easier.
That is the hook.
God. Dang.
Cool.
All right. There. That was a crash and burn. All right. More Fast Track coming up next. I think it's up to me next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right. I want to let you know tonight I am going to be on the late night happy hour with the Kamenetsky brothers. I watched a little bit of this the other night. It's actually really good. It's on from 10 to 11 tonight, and it is on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter and Periscope feeds, and it looks really good. They did a nice job with it. All right. Funch, it's to me.
It's to you.
Yep. All right. Yeah, you got it.
Okay. A U.S. judge has ruled that strip clubs cannot be blocked from obtaining emergency federal funds during the pandemic. U.S. District Judge Matthew Lightman in Flint, Michigan, issued a preliminary injunction barring the U.S. Small Business Association from enforcing a rule to exclude businesses that present live performances or sell products of prurient nature, sexual nature, from loans under the Paycheck Protection Program. John, should strip clubs like one called Little Darlings that is involved in this in Flint, Michigan, receive federal funds from the bailout of small businesses?
Yes. You know why?
Why?
Strippers are people, too. Why would you penalize someone just because they're a stripper? You know, you may not like it or agree with their choice of career, but they have a business. As long as they're paying taxes and not breaking any laws, why wouldn't they be eligible? What's the counter argument to it?
I don't have one. Strip clubs are businesses. They are small businesses, and they are ain't my scene, not my jam, but they are small businesses, and they need help just like everybody else. If your club, Little Darlings or Bada Bing, needs a loan in order to stay afloat, I think they should have them. Anybody else got a problem with that?
You may not have come along with it yet, but there's a great line in one of the Sopranos episodes where they whacked a guy and they say, well, why did you kill that guy? And Silvio Dante, who's a little Steve from the E Street Band, Stevie Van Zandt says, he disrespected the Bing. And I went, he disrespected a strip club, so you killed him? But you know what? Strip clubs are, you're right, they are small businesses. I couldn't make an argument against them.
And they employ people, and they have paychecks, and they deserve to continue receiving paychecks while the business is being forced to close. It is a small business like any other small business. Anybody have a problem with that? Funch, Lindsay?
I don't understand why there needed to be a declaration of it to begin with. Who was the person that was...
Well, there's a you have a, to say what your business is in order to apply for this stuff.
Yeah, there's current rule by the U.S. Small Business Administration forcing to exclude businesses that present live performances or sell products of a prurient sexual nature. So there is a rule by the U.S. Small Business Administration that says you can't give bailout funds to a strip club, but they have sued, and right now they are waiting for their federal bailouts. So
I feel like that rule is like really, 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 really outdated, like probably like 60, 70 years outdated, maybe more.
Right. Yeah, I think they'll win in court.
Good. I hope they change the law, too.
And I think that the way you phrased it, Steve, you said of prurient nature. Entertaining adults is a legitimate business. It may not be something that any of us would do. I don't know.
Do you ever go to a strip club, John? Do you ever go, like, when you're on the road, go out with the guys, make it rain?
Well, if it does, it's not going to admit it on the radio.
No. I actually would admit it. I would, because it's not illegal.
Yeah.
But no, it's not my thing. I know.
Not
I'm
your
friend.
Jam.
I'm there. I'm friends with some strip club guys, but yep. I'm not one of them.
All right. Funch.
All right, May. 61-year-old Anthony Griggs lives in Arizona, and he's a really good golfer. He decided he'd make golf harder for himself by limiting his selection of clubs. According to Golf Week, Griggs got bored of playing with a full set of clubs and instead began playing with a single club in his bag, his putter. Incredibly,
really?
Griggs was able to beat a field of golfers at the Whirlwind Golf Club in Chandler, Arizona.
Wow.
To win a D flight event, taking all 84 shots from tee to green with his putter.
Get out of here.
It may be just the cheapest winning set you'll ever find, too. After breaking his $300 putter, he replaced it with a $3 putter from Goodwill. Then went on to beat a bunch of guys playing with all 13 clubs.
Don't you think it must be a super easy course?
I do. I don't know how he did it. I didn't break 84 the last time I played golf, and I played with a full set. So after hearing this story, does this make you more or less inclined to take up golf?
I swear to God, I am thinking about buying some golf clubs and at least just going to a driving range and hitting some balls.
Why not?
See where it goes from there. Because you know what? There's a lot of hours in a weekend right now. There's plenty of hours, plenty of time. Normally in real life, I'm really busy and there's stuff going on all the time. But right now, I've got plenty of downtime. Chris Morales keeps saying, I'll take you out for a round. I'm really thinking about taking him up on it. Playing golf with Morales is probably really fun anyway.
Yeah, I'm playing with Morales a week from Saturday is the rematch between me and Travis. At Industry Hills. So it's either at Industry Hills or Black Gold. I got to find out from Chris. But it's Travis beat me last time. We were tied after nine holes, and then he just blitzed me on the back nine. So I'm gonna now. I haven't picked up my clubs very much over the past 6 weeks, so I better get my act together and hopefully I can give him a game. But we'll see.
All right, Funch. Okay, gonna play a game right now. This is a game called What Came First? What Came First? John, you can play. Lindsay, you can play. Funch, you can play. You'll catch on very quickly. What came first, Necco wafers or the invention of television? What came first, John?
Necco wafers.
Necco wafers. Lindsay?
I, too, believe it was Necco wafers.
Necco wafers. Funch?
Wafers.
You guys are all correct. Necco wafers, 1847, television, 1927. All right. What came first, Wrigley Field in Chicago or Wrigley chewing gum? Wrigley Field in Chicago or Wrigley chewing gum? Lindsay?
I'm going to say Wrigley chewing gum.
Wrigley chewing gum. Funch?
Chewing gum.
Chewing gum. John?
Well, I would think that they would need to have an established company in order to buy or own Wrigley Field, so I will also say chewing gum.
Chewing gum is the correct answer. Yeah, and in looking at it now, I think that's very obvious. I was trying to trick you guys. All right, next one. Nickelodeon or the Disney Channel? Which came first, Nickelodeon or the Disney Channel? Funch?
Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon. John?
The Disney Channel.
The Disney Channel. Lindsay?
I believe it was Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon is the correct answer. Funch and Lindsay take a lead. John with two. Which came first, Raging Bull or Taxi Driver? Raging Bull or Taxi Driver, which came first, John?
Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver. Lindsay?
I don't know either of those movies. Taxi Driver?
Taxi Driver? With a question mark? Funch?
Because John said so.
Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver's correct. 1976. Raging Bull was 1980. Which came first, Blue's Clues or Dora the Explorer? Which came first, Blue's Clues or Dora the Explorer? Lindsay, it's to you.
I'm fairly certain that it was Blue's Clues.
Blue's Clues. Funch?
Dora.
Dora. John?
I'm with Lindsay. Blue's Clues.
Blue's Clues is the correct answer. Lindsay's got a 5-4 lead over John and Funch. Which came first, 2020 or 60 Minutes? Which came first, 2020 or 60 Minutes? Funch, you're the starter.
60 Minutes.
60 Minutes. John?
60 Minutes.
60 Minutes. Lindsay?
I'm going to say 2020 just to be different.
Oh, you guys are all tied at 5. It is 60 minutes. And
oh,
we come
man.
Down to the last one.
Wow, we're all tied going to the final.
5-5.
Okay.
What came first, potato chips or chop suey? Potato chips or chop suey? You guys are all tied. So, John, which came first?
Chop suey.
Chop suey. Lindsay.
So I agree. I think it's chop suey because I feel like chop suey is like not necessarily an invention as so much of a recipe that could be somewhat subjective as far as when it was quote unquote invented.
That's a long way of saying what?
Chop suey.
Chop suey. Okay. And Funch.
I guess I'll say potato chips.
Potato chips carries the day. Here's the deal. Potato chips were invented in 1865. Chop suey was actually invented in New York. It was not invented in China. It was invented in New York in 1896 at a restaurant in Manhattan. So potato chips came before chop suey. Funch, it takes the win. All right, more Fast Track coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track in Ireland. It's to you.
Okay, I got a game. You can play, Lindsay. Funch, you can play. And Mason, you can play. Tua Tagliavoa recently announced that he will wear jersey number 1 this fall when he plays for the Dolphins. Tua could not wear number 13, his college number, because it's retired for Dan Marino. So I have a list of players who have worn the number 1 at some point in their professional careers.
Okay.
Their professional careers. I'll describe the player. When you think you know who it is, your name is your buzzer. Here we go. Player number 1 was such a good athlete, he was drafted in 2 professional sports.
Lindsay.
Lindsay.
Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray is right.
Oh, wow.
Way to go, Lindsay.
That's a great pull.
She's on the board. Okay. This number 1 was the NBA MVP in 2011.
2011. Mason. Just going to take a shot. Dirk Nowitzki.
No. Lindsay and Funch, you guys
Lindsay.
Are still alive. Lindsay.
Is it a Hardaway?
No.
Finish your question.
Okay. I'll give Funch, you just be patient. You'll figure it out. He attended college at the University of Memphis.
Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose is correct.
Yeah,
Funches
yeah.
is on the board. Okay. This number 1 is a Hall of Famer who is known as a defensive specialist. He is a baseball player who played in the Midwest. When he took the field, he used to do a flip.
Mace. Ozzie Smith.
Ozzie Smith is correct, and it's 1-1-1. Very close. All right. This number 1 is now the coach at the same school where he went to college.
Funch. Penny Hardaway.
Penny Hardaway is correct.
That's who I was thinking of with the 2011,
jump.
Even though it was too late.
All right. This number 1 threw one of the prettiest passes in NFL history.
Funch. Doug Flutie.
Incorrect. Lindsay and Mace, you're still alive. He went
I don't
to
know that one.
He went to the University of Washington, but had his best years as an NFL player for the Houston Oilers.
Mace. Dan Pastorini?
No.
Oh, I know it now.
Lindsay?
I'm not going to guess it. No clue.
You don't think so? He was one. Nope. Okay, I'll give you
for the rest of the clues.
Yeah, I'll give you two more clues and you may get it. He became one of the greatest African American statistical quarterbacks in NFL history.
Yeah.
Michael Vick?
No. The answer is Funch.
Warren Moon.
Warren Moon. Okay, so yep. Funch is two. Yep. Mason one. Lindsay one. Okay. This number one went to the NBA straight out of high school. He played in Toronto, Orlando, and Houston. He is now seen a lot on The Jump on ESPN.
Funch.
Tracy McGrady.
Damn,
is right.
I was on that too.
Is up 3-1. Okay. Funch three. All right. Four more left. Okay. This number one changed colleges before leading his second school to the number one ranking in the country. He played in the SEC. He became the number one pick in the NFL draft.
Mace. Joe Burrow.
No.
Funch. Cam Newton
is correct.
Ugh, damn.
Funch is running away with this one. 4-1-1. All right. Three more left. This number one was left-handed and a star in the NBA. He made a very big splash when he announced his free agency, joining forces with two super friends.
Funch.
Chris Bosh. And Funch is up 5-1. Okay, two more left. All right. This number one only went to college for 1 year. He is currently a rookie in the NBA. He's left-handed and plays in the Western Conference.
Mace. Ja Morant?
No. He probably would finish second in the Rookie of the Year voting to Ja Morant. Funch.
Zion Williamson
is it. All right, so that means Funch says out to a commanding
6-1
lead.
He's a number guy. He knows all
but,
the numbers.
But
he
Funch,
does know numbers.
Here's the bad news. This last one is worth 6.
Nice.
So you're either going to win 12-1 or Lindsay or Mason is going to upset you. And here it comes. All right? This number one was a number one pick in the NFL draft. He went to college in the Northeast. His football career was interrupted by a huge scandal involving dogs.
Mace. Michael Vick.
Michael Vick and Mason gets it. Beats Funches 7-6 with a comeback.
Yes. Oh, it's going to be a good week after all. All right, Funch, I got one last one.
Fast Track.
Still somewhere on ABC, I believe, American Idol is going on. So I was curious about this. If you took our regular lineup on 710 ESPN, so Travis, Key, LZ, George, willing to throw Bergman in, you, me, Lindsay, Funch, all of us, who would the 1-2-3 finishers in a 710 ESPN American Idol contest be?
Singing.
American Idol.
Okay, we're all singing. Let's see. Lindsay has refused to sing on the show.
I'm the worst singer ever. You do not want to sing.
So I don't think it's her.
Funch has never demonstrated any interest in vocal.
Yeah. Bergman can't sing.
Bergman cannot do
it. I don't think Travis. I actually think it'd be a sing for third place. It would be a sing off between LZ and Sedano, and I think LZ would beat him. LZ seems to have a library of knowledge of music.
He does.
So
you're right.
I'll put LZ number three. Mason number two, and of course, Broadway John, me as number one.
By the way, I would kick your ass.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Sing off right now. What do you want to say?
I was going to say, let's have a sing off.
Name an artist.
Name an artist?
Yeah, Lindsay, name an artist.
Well, I need lyrics.
Lady Gaga.
Well, wait a minute. You're going to look up Lady Gaga lyrics?
No, I'm going to look up lyrics.
All right, wait,
I need lyrics.
How about sing Madonna Like a Virgin? Everyone knows that song, right?
Well, or basically pick any song you want.
Okay, and look up the lyrics, right?
You can't sing off the top of your head?
No,
I would beat you right there. I mean, they could just tell me to sing something from anything.
She just said Lady Gaga. Sing something from Lady Gaga.
What do you want to hear, Lindsay?
Poker Face. Sing Poker Face.
Yeah,
I don't know it. I don't think
yeah. Okay. I pretty much have it down.
Yeah, I win based on those 10 seconds.
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
Sing Madonna.
Everyone
knows Like a Virgin.
Like a virgin. Touched for the very first time. Like a virgin. There you go.
That's it? Okay, now it's your turn, John.
That's all you got?
That's all I remember.
That's pretty weak. That's pretty weak, Mace.
Okay, that's the one that starts with, I made it through the wilderness.
Oh, no.
Somehow I made it through. Didn't know how lost I was until I found you.
See, I you know beat, the words.
Incomplete. I've been had. I was sad and blue, but you make me feel. Yeah, you make me feel shiny and new. Who wins, Lindsay?
Dun, dun, dun.
Sing the chorus.
No, I've already beaten you.
Sing
you
the chorus.
Yeah, John wins. I mean, John wins.
Oh, I mean, John knew all the words to that song. I don't know the words
to it.
Okay, I have to admit, I'm kind of a closet Madonna fan.
Clearly.
Yes. I don't think you're a closet Madonna fan. I think the whole world knows now.
Yeah, no. You've been outed as a Madonna fan.
Well, I think Lady Gaga. You know, one time I said, I don't know if I can tell the story. So I told Lisa once that if I ever had a chance to hook up with Madonna, I would just have to do it for the story.
For the story?
You know, don't you think? You know,
even
like,
now?
Well, that's kind of what Lisa's response was. She goes, I think that store's been closed for a while.
That's a great response. Right.
Yeah, that is a good response. Now, John, you win on that one. I don't know the words to Like a Virgin the
now,
way
LZ,
you do. I'm not a closet Madonna fan.
LZ would know. I just bumped you to third and put LZ at second.
I'm a pretty easy song, though. Just saying.
I think if I had time to prepare, I would kick your ass.
Well, you see, but time to on what is it? American Idol. I guess you do have some time to prepare.
Oh, you get an expert to help you rehearse.
No, isn't that The Voice? I think in American Idol, you just go.
Yeah, when you have those auditions and you're just going up for the first time
on The Voice,
Mace,
you have a coach.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That was it.
If I had time, I would kick your ass. But right now, I would say you are the champion.
You can't even sing any song when he gave you the option.
I literally let you. I gave you the choice of any song ever.
Well, I don't have a photographic memory. I can't remember every friggin' song.
Yeah, what's your favorite song?
You have a favorite song that you know the words to.
Hallelujah, Leonard Cohen.
Sing that.
Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
That's pretty good.
That's incredible.
You kind of sing talk that though, but that's kind of a slow song.
Yeah,
it's kind of a slow song.
All right. Well, I would say you still win, and I can't believe how much of a Madonna song you know.
If you want me to do Vogue tomorrow, just let me know. But I think this Ramsey Morris says it best. This guy who just tweeted us.
Yeah.
The singing segment basically killed me.
He's done.
Ramsey, you're right.
All right, coming up next.
It's time, people.
Oh, this is interesting tonight.
Okay, wait. Now, do you think it would be unprofessional of us to ask Alan Sliwa to sing?
No, we got to ask him to sing now. And we have to ask him to sing like a virgin.
Well, he is a professional broadcaster.
I believe we should cordially invite him to participate in our singing contest.
Alan, join us. Won't you?
Won't you? All right. coming up next, it is Sliwa at Sunset and Crosstalk, 710 ESPN. All right, it is time, people. Boy, there's an interesting dynamic tonight. There really is.
What's that? Why?
Because of the events of the past 24 hours.
Oh, no. Alan and I have made up on... Didn't I send you the text exchange?
I did see the text exchange, but I wonder. It still seems as though you're hurt.
No, it says, Alan texted me, my bad, on yesterday. I responded, no worries. I apologize to you and anyone who may have been offended. Have a nice day. And I put a smiley face emoticon. And Alan responded, may the Lord be with you. I thought this was a nice touch. With three prayer emojis.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So, Mace, I don't know what it is you're speaking of.
So there has been some real healing that has happened here.
I think so.
That's
okay, Mace,
a beautiful thing.
Here's a real question. If I texted him in the morning and he didn't respond till about 4,
yeah,
what do I look kind of in between the lines there?
I would read between the lines.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't think it'll ever be the same. I mean, he can act all polite and congenial and talk about you being a great youngster in this business.
He is a great youngster in this business.
You're one of the best. But I can tell you.
He has a very compelling show scheduled for this evening that I am looking forward to listening to.
With some wonderful guests.
Well, thank you, John.
I mean, he can say all this stuff, but trust me, between the lines, he is pissed.
I disagree. I think the three prayer emojis have made up for everything.
Sliwa, why did you send that text to John this morning?
Because it felt right. I felt like I needed to.
Act of contrition.
Was that like eating away at you all night long, that little limerick you did for John?
Didn't feel all that good about it. Did not feel
you
all that
didn't.
Good about it. No.
Right. Did you sleep last night? Could you sleep?
I slept. It was tough. You know, you kind of toss and turn. You get up. Not too much to walk in, obviously in my studio, right? So you can only pace so far.
And then you didn't want to send the text at 4 a.m. while you were tossing and turning because that would have looked too desperate. So you waited until 8:58 this morning to send that text. My bad on the limerick last night, I believe is what the text was.
I just said my bad for yesterday.
Yeah. And then you immediately called Chris Morales, right?
Well, I was going to call Chris Morales either way.
But you had to call Chris so he could kind of talk you off the ledge a little bit.
No. No, did not need the ledge talk. Did not need the ledge
what
talk.
What was the purpose of that call to Chris? Look, the proximity of the
yes.
text message, my bad on last night, 8:58, and your call to Chris, which I'm told was at 9:02, suggests that those two things were related.
Well, no,
you
there's
had
a...
to have called Chris to talk about the limerick from last night.
Yes, we did talk about it, but that's not really the purpose of the call. So I kind of getting through my to-dos, right? Ireland was first on the board there because I felt bad.
Yeah.
And then it
as,
was called,
as you should have.
Okay. Then it was call Chris Morales and kind of similar to our conversation, Mace. How do you think things are going? There was a lot
Chris,
of that conversation.
Hey, Chris, quick question for you. What's your take on how my show is going right now?
Was it something like that?
Actually thought that was – I thought you had the actual call for a second there. It was very, very similar to that.
That's
and
the way conversations
I had to get
off, with Alan go.
And then I go to Chris to almost 9:30, then had a call at 9:30, and then that was it.
And then
we
talked
later
but
in the
But all
afternoon.
Day long it's simmering because you didn't hear back from John. John
you know,
did not
I,
respond to your text.
When I was on the phone with Chris, my phone vibrated twice.
Yeah.
And at that moment I said, okay – I think I'm good because that's going to be John. And it was probably 5-10 minutes after I sent him the text. So I thought I was good. But then 1 hour goes by, 3 hours goes by. You know, Mace, think about that. Think about that for a second. It took John, what was it, 7 hours?
Seven hours to respond.
That says something.
Meanwhile, he's just stewing. I mean, I could tell throughout today's show, John is just stewing. He's like ready to unleash on you, man.
Yes.
He is. You are going to feel the wrath of John Ireland. And that's somewhere you don't want to be.
John, should I have not apologized?
I would not have apologized.
Well, I know that. I
mean, but, yeah.
I actually thought apologizing was soft, Alan. I thought it was very soft.
Alan, why do you think I waited several hours to respond?
Because probably good for the show for a bit to then
ding, ding,
talk
ding,
about
ding,
it.
Ding, ding. I
Very
wanted to get
Mace,
I wanted to ask Mason's opinion.
Yep.
And I could have. Now, here's the difference between me and you, Alan. I could have called Mason at 9:02 this morning and asked him of his opinion, or I could have done what we always do and asked him his opinion on the air.
On the air, right.
So what I should have done.
Like, you should have done any of this on the. It's no good if it doesn't happen on the air.
And okay,
Alan,
how about when I called?
Alan,
Alan,
when we talked the other day, because you called me on Monday and you said, hey, Mace, want to pick your brain.
Can you hop
what's
on?
What's your take on
I executed your blueprint yesterday.
You didn't, because you didn't let all this hang out on the air. You should have just let it lay, let the rivalry build. Don't go behind the scenes and say, "Hey, sorry, my bad, man. I'm the Limerick. I really went too far."
And by the way, Alan, the second you did that, I said, "Oh, I'll read this on the air."
See, the point is to do everything on the air, Alan. The great ones live their life on the air. I want you to be a great one.
Mason once said to me, "I'm taking Wednesday off. I got to get a colonoscopy. Do you think I should do it on the air?" That's how the greats think.
To raise awareness for colonoscopies. You should have one.
Alan, this is where we want to get your head. There was once a broadcaster that Mason and I worked with that we are still friends with today. That said, we were talking to him once, and he said, "Oh, by the way, you guys, I'm getting a divorce." And we said, "Are you going to talk about it on the air?" He said, "Yeah." And this was on a Monday. He goes, "Yeah, but I'm waiting till Thursday because that's when the book starts."
That's when the ratings period starts. Exactly.
That's, Alan, how you got to embrace these things.
So I screwed up. I screwed up this morning. I should have waited.
So you
no, well, no, you could have said what you texted on the air, and then it all plays out on the air.
Like you killed it last night. I personally think you killed it.
In a good way or a bad way?
You killed John, but I mean you killed it. I thought you laid it out there, and I thought it was funny, and I knew John would be. I knew his ego would be crushed a little bit, and I think that's good for the show. And I think the apology should have been on the air, and I think John's reaction on the air is great. I just think you should be willing to let it all hang out. That's what I told you on that call the other day.
You did.
Let it all hang out, man.
You did.
All right, now, in honor of that, Alan, right now, step up to the mic. First verse of Madonna's Like a Virgin, go.
Unbelievable.
You're not getting out of it. You have to sing it.
You have.
What
to
did
do
they
it.
Sing? Did they already sing it?
They both sang "Like a Virgin." John sang the first three verses,
and I sang the chorus.
Can't believe you didn't hear it.
I made it through the wilderness.
Come on, Alan.
Come on, Sleep.
Sing.
Somehow I made.
Let me clear my throat. Give me a second to clear my throat.
Okay.
Lindsay, what am I doing?
You're singing "Like a
Madonna's
Virgin."
Madonna's "Like a Virgin."
Would you like me to buy you some time by reading a listener limerick about the three of us? Go ahead. You can look up the words even. This is from
Eddie. Yeah, look up the lyrics, Alan.
This is from Eddie Carrillo.
Eddie?
He like said, a virgin. That's all I got. I don't even know the rest of the songs. What's
touch
the rest
for
of the song?
Very. You don't even know "Touch for the Very First Time"? Like a virgin.
For the very first time. That's not bad. That's the best I got. Guys, that's
He's
the best
really
I got
good.
Right there.
That I want
actually
that
was
more.
Not horrible.
No,
that was horrible.
You sound great.
That was creepy and horrible at the same time.
I'll tell you, I will give you creepy because it was.
It was a little.
It was a little like sexualized. It's like a little sultry.
Who He's was a sultry singing voice, but it's good.
Yeah, who was the guy on WKRP in Cincinnati who was on late at night? Venus Flytrap?
Venus Flytrap, yeah, it was very Venus Flytrap.
All right, so here's Eddie's limerick. Okay. At ESPN works a man named Sliwa who has to work with Mason, who is a diva. There's also John, who looks like Jimmy Neutron, and Lindsay, whose hair is painted like a cheetah.
How is my hair painted like a cheetah?
You know, Eddie, none of those words actually rhyme.
No, that doesn't work.
Sliwa does not rhyme with diva. John does not rhyme with neutron. And Lindsay's hair painted like a cheetah. Cheetah doesn't rhyme with Sliwa.
Yeah. What was the one yesterday? Didn't they end it with cheetah yesterday as well? There was another one that was...
The guy who went hunting...
Oh yeah, the guy that had all the cats in his.
He like
his
went hunting for a zebra, but instead he found a Sliwa, and then there was a cheetah, something like that. Tried to make him work.
So so Sliwa, I think you've distinguished yourself in this segment. You sang a little Madonna, which I think all of us have to do at some point in our career.
Yeah, I haven't done that before. That's the first time. By the way, do you guys know what today is?
It's National
Wednesday.
It's National Apple Pie Day.
National Apple Pie Day.
National Apple Pie Day. What's the Mount Rushmore of pies?
Oh, Mount Rushmore of pies. Very good question. So everybody's going to have a slightly different one.
Apple pie. Not at all.
I'm not a big apple pie guy.
It's got to be there. It's got to be on the Mount Rushmore.
It's so American, it's got to be there.
All right, this is what I think it is. It's apple, cherry, pumpkin, which is a highly underrated pie.
Oh, pumpkin's got to be there.
And in a sleeper, but you cannot deny it, banana cream pie is number four.
Oh, that's a good one.
What about key lime?
Key lime doesn't make it. Key lime is an excellent pie.
Key lime makes mine. Apple's got to be there. Pumpkin's got to be there.
If you want to boot cherry and put in key lime, I'll let you.
I think key lime has got to be there. Key lime is so friggin' good. Especially the one for CPK.
Any blueberry?
Yes, blueberry. Blueberry for sure. Blueberry, key lime, pumpkin, and banana.
And banana cream is great. A coconut cream I would accept, but banana cream I think I like better. So apple, pumpkin, banana cream, and key lime. Those are the that's my Mount Rushmore pie.
That's 7 to 8:30 tonight.
Oh, you're going to do that tonight?
Yeah, just 7 to 8:30 because I want to leave some room at the beginning and the end.
That's good. I like
tweet
it.
Tweet from Jeff. Sliwa has the best voice at the station. Holy crap.
Yeah, right.
It's pretty good. I'm surprised.
Yeah, I am too. That's a secret gift that you need to share more often with the people.
Yeah, now, Sliwa, see, I'm good at making up limericks on the spot. You can sing. You should sing more.
Yeah, your musicality is excellent.
Maybe that's how I'll start my first segment tonight.
Just random songs?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Alan Sliwa sings the American Songbook. Yeah, I think that's...
Alan,
that's a special.
This is a very moving song. I want you to start with Send in the Clowns.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it rich? Aren't we a pair? You up in the clouds and me in thin air? What is that? Something like that. Alan, coming up next is where you take over the show.
Yes.
Where you read your sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
Then I ask you what's in the can.
Our sponsorship. Yeah,
our sponsorship. Yep. I ask you what's in the can, and you tell us what pre-recorded guests you have, and then you sort of steer us into what you've got coming up.
Okay, over under, there's three interviews total tonight. How many do you think are in the can?
I'm going to say two.
John?
I think you're a very professional broadcaster who would never pre-record anything. I will say zero.
Lindsay? Right.
I'm going to say one.
Okay. We will find out. Oof, that's a tease. Next, 710 ESPN. All right, got something to read there, Alan?
Yes, sir. Crosstalk on 710, powered by PowerPro and their cross-trade services. servicing plumbing, heating and air, great power specials right now, $99 drain cleaning or $59 AC tune-up, which includes a safety inspection and a temporary disinfect for your HVAC system. Make an appointment today, 800-584-4116, or visit powerproplumbing.com.
All right, I wanted to mention one thing. The Kamenetsky brothers are doing a late-night happy hour every night from 10 to 11 on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter handle on Periscope, and I will be their guest tonight. So from 10 to 11, a full hour. What did I sign up for? A full hour of this thing. Late-night happy hour with the Kamenetsky brothers at ESPN Los Angeles.
Little jealous.
So, Sliwa, how many in the can? Yeah, yeah, I'm sure you can get that gig. How many in the can?
One in the can tonight. One in the
just
can.
Just one. Lindsay. Yeah. Lindsay with the win.
Well, the reason I suspected that was because usually we know when Alan's recording something during the show. Because sometimes he'll tell us like he has to set something up or, you know.
One in the can.
Yeah, one in the can. So who are the guests? Who Bobby, do you have coming up?
Bobby Marks coming on at 7. Talk about all the just everything going on, latest in the NBA front. Dan yep. Kaplan from The Athletic. Did you guys know this, by the way, that Astros fans, they have a lawsuit on the sign stealing plus on refund claims to the actual team. Did you guys know that?
Oh, really? No, I yeah. did not.
They're literally there are fans going after their own fans going after the Astros for the sign stealing scandal and
saying it was fraud and they want their ticket money back.
Yes. Yeah. So he'll come on at 7:30 and then Tanya Ganguly at 8:30. Okay. I don't know if you guys got to see this, but let me set up the top players of all time. If you guys have seen that list or if you haven't.
Okay.
Jordan.
This is a new list of NBA players. Who's put this out?
So they say their experts ranked the greatest of all time, 1 through 74. ESPN put it out. Okay?
Okay.
So they got Jordan at 1. You tell me when you guys have an issue, okay? Jordan at 1.
Jordan, yep.
Bron at 2.
No problem.
Kareem sitting at 3.
Okay. The LeBron-Kareem thing is very close. Kareem had 6 titles. LeBron has 3, right? Mm-hmm.
But we're not talking just about how many titles. We're talking about how good they are, right?
Well, Kareem was arguably the greatest offensive force in the history of the game. LeBron is a more complete player. So this is just if we were playing pickup, we would take, like, if we were picking teams,
yep.
You take Jordan first, you take LeBron second. Okay, Kareem third. I got it. Yeah, that's actually right.
By the way, I mean, if you're in the top 10, I mean, that it's an unbelievable list, and to try and kind of call out, okay, this player over that one. Yes, we could do it here and there, but I'm with you, John. It's like, you know, it's we're talking Kareem and LeBron. They got Bill Russell at 4. Any issues there?
I guess because of the titles, he probably has to be there.
Yeah, and I think somebody said 22-0 in game 7s.
Jesus. Wow.
Which is unbelievable.
And then they have Magic at 5. That's your top 5 right there. Jordan, LeBron, Kareem, Bill Russell, and Magic at 5.
Hard to argue any of those.
No, I actually think they're probably right on that. I like those 5.
Okay, we'll go 6 to 10.
Okay.
Wilt at 6. Bird at 7. Guess surprised Bird's there at 7?
I am.
Before
Kobe,
by the way.
I'd put Kobe ahead of Bird.
So look who's after Bird. Duncan, Kobe, and Shaq. I'm surprised Bird's at 7.
I'd put Kobe ahead of Duncan.
Me too.
Well, and this is.
I think I would.
Would
switch.
You put Kobe at 6 or Wilt at 6?
I'd put Kobe at 6 and Wilt
yeah,
at 7.
Yeah, me too.
Then Duncan, Bird, Shaq.
I'd go Shaq above Duncan. Kobe, Wilt.
Duncan at.
Shaq, Kobe, Wilt, Shaq, Duncan, Bird.
John, where do you sit?
There's
on
two
this
guys.
Argument?
There's two guys that, but I don't know who I would take out. Olajuwon was so great. I'd love to find a way to get him in the top 10. And Oscar Robertson was like the most complete player in the game.
He was 11.
15 years.
Oscar Robertson was 11.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's Hakeem?
I think he's 13. Let me.
He's 12.
Oh, he's 12.
12. So he's right there.
Here's the problem. This is the problem I have.
Problem is there's only 10 spots. That's the big problem.
With the Kobe part, I think what they're not putting into play here is him doing it with two different regimes, right? Like you did it with Shaq, and then all of a sudden you did two more and went to three NBA finals with a completely different roster. Like that's the only thing. You have Bird, who has three championships, but it was pretty much with the same Hall of Famers. Kobe, you could say that he was doing it, yes, with Shaq and then with one other Hall of Famer with Powell. That's why I think you got to bump Kobe up.
Yeah, I'm going Kobe at 6. Wilt at 7, Shaq at 8, Duncan at 9, Bird at 10.
Let me tell you guys who they have. Explain this one to me, and I know I mentioned you guys for a quick second. They have...
All right, wait a minute. So I think there are two current players that in 5 years might crack that top 10.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's two, because LeBron's the only current player on that list. Who are the two?
Giannis and Steph.
Steph is one, not Giannis.
KD?
Yeah.
Oh, KD. Yeah.
What are you going to do with them?
By the way, they have Steph in front of KD. I wouldn't put Steph over KD.
I don't know. Steph revolutionized the game.
And he has one more title.
And you can make the case he's the greatest shooter in history.
Why do I feel like I know people are going to hate when I say this. I feel like he's overrated.
Who?
Steph.
In what regard?
They have him, Hakeem 12, Steph 13, Kevin Durant 14, Dr. J 15. I feel like he's too high.
I disagree, and here's why. There's never been a player that, if you don't come out and guard him, he just backs up and shoots and scores anyway, no matter where you are, 30 feet, 40 feet, 45 feet. And when he does it, all those shots are worth three. All the other guys you described, those shots are only worth two. Steph's the greatest shooter the game has ever seen.
Yeah, and somebody said here in the little summary, his influence on the game is seen on every level of basketball as younger generations shoot more than ever while trying to replicate his game, and that's absolutely true. He also proves that you don't have to be 6'9" to play the game.
All right, so here's an amazing thing. The year Steph came out in the draft, the Minnesota Timberwolves had two of the top six picks.
I remember that.
And they needed a point guard.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, we're not going to mess around. We're going to take two point guards and hope that one of them works.
Yeah, that was so weird. That was David Kahn, right?
Right, who was the editor of the UCLA Daily Bruin when I was a freshman at UCLA.
And friend of Michael Thompson, if I remember right.
Yeah, covered was a newspaper writer.
Yep.
And covered the Portland Trailblazers. And then he made friends with David Stern. Stern recommended him to be GM of the Wolves. He takes Ricky Rubio and Johnny Flynn. And the next pick is Steph. You talk about, like, literally ruining a franchise in one draft.
Yep.
You can outthink the room, and he did.
Had to get one thing right.
Yep.
Okay, one thing right. What current player is ahead of Stockton, AI, Nash, Isaiah Thomas?
Current
player, and I'm not talking obviously KD, Curry, or LeBron.
Yeah, no, that has to be Giannis.
Yeah, that has to be Giannis.
He's in front of Kevin McHale, Patrick Ewing. That's
Giannis,
insane to me.
Well, Kevin McHale and Patrick Ewing can't do what Giannis can do. They can't grab a rebound, dribble through the entire defense, get from one end of the court in five steps, and dunk on you.
And Giannis can't hit a 17-footer like Ewing could.
Yeah, but he's unguardable. Look at his efficiency rates. He averages 30, 12, and 9. You know, he's unbelievable.
In an average of 31 minutes a game.
I think it's just because he's so young. I'm like, damn, they're already putting him ahead of these guys. Now, what he could be, you know, over what he accomplishes over the next 5 years, that can obviously change the conversation.
Well, there's two things going on. There's two ways to look at that. It's what his game is, right? And so you're talking about what Giannis's game is, what Kevin McHale's game was, what Patrick Ewing's game was, and the total resume. So based on total resume, Giannis should not be in front of them. But in terms of what his game is, I can see the case.
almost all these players in front of him, well, Barkley didn't win a chip. Pippen's in front of him. KG's in front of him. Yeah, I guess just he's so young. It's like I don't want to give him credit yet until right. he wins a championship, you know?
You know what they say, Sliwa? There's an old expression.
It's 626, guys.
I know.
Wow. And two bonus minutes you
at got. At 624, tonight. We should have hit the door.
Mm-hmm.
Should have hit the door. We will leave you now.
Alan, I'd like to say before we go, have an excellent show.
Thank you so much, John. God be with you.
I am quite looking forward to this broadcast, Alan. Don't
Thank
let us down.
Thank you as well, Steve. Yes. Thank you as well, Steve.
All the best to you. We're back tomorrow at 2:55 sharp, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.